Well, we have made it to Friday, and we've got a big weekend ahead of your Wildcat fan. And you can't see this, but I'm wearing my Arizona Wildcat t-shirt, dressed down today for the first time in a long time. And it's okay, it's radio. So someone reminded me that yesterday, and I took the coaching. I am so happy today to have on my good friend Robert Bose from Robert, where do you live? I always know you're working on stuff in Georgia, and I think you're in Georgia, but you're not in Georgia.
In the D.C. area, right in the belly of the swamp.
Yes, yes, where I was. I spent 3 days there this week. I should have called you. There was just you, me, and 350,000 people on the mall on, I think that was Tuesday, right? Wednesday?
Yes, some of those folks were there to protest. Mm. They were paid agitators. Trying to stir up trouble ahead of the election here.
Well, and let's talk about that. Who paid people to go and it was? I have to say, I didn't attend the whole event. We were going to and from places. There was a lot of security. It was orderly. I didn't see any skirmishes. I didn't hear of any incidences of assault. But there were a lot of people there, and all different ethnicities, ages. A lot of people wearing Israeli flags on their backs. I was really happy to see the support for Israel. But who are these paid agitators? Who pays people to come, especially when they're so outnumbered?
So last Tuesday, what you're talking about is the massive peaceful rally,
yes,
supporting America and faith and against Israel. That's in reaction to the communist-funded Hamas, BLM agitators that have been doing more radical, violent protests around the country, including at U of A, I think. Didn't they have something at U of A?
Yes, they did. They had a pro-Hamas demonstration on the campus in the last, my days are now confused, I think last week or over the weekend.
Right.
So yes.
So all those college campus and out in front of the White House and right in front of the DNC, but just the night after that, that big 300,000 strong peaceful protest, then the agitators came right back and with a violent protest, and there were people that were assaulting police officers right outside the DNC headquarters here in DC. So that faction, and it's basically a blend of all the various I call them Marxist groups, but they're really more than that. It's the entities behind it and paying for it are Muslim Brotherhood and the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE. That's one part. Then, but New York Times had an expose that the Chinese Communist Party is paying these protesters as well. There's this one organization, it caused me to dig into this. The New York Times basically accused this couple that is part of this big Chicago-based protest advocacy group. It's called ThoughtWorks.
ThoughtWorks.
And People's Forum and Code Pink. Some people may have heard of Code Pink.
Yes, we've heard
All those three are working together, the same common managers, execs. And ThoughtWorks is a publicly traded company. They basically do, software sabotage for political operations. One of their main clients is Democracy Now! Okay, the New York Times called them out for being funded by the CCP. And the two leaders, Jody Evans and Neville Singh, they are husband and wife. They started this operation way back during the Hong Kong protest. Chinese Communist Party paid these people to work against the freedom movement in Hong Kong. They are paid Chinese Communist agents. They work in Chicago. It's a publicly traded company. They've got all these Marxist Democrat clients. And they're the ones putting these organized protests together, for they're faking these things like Jews for Peace, whatever, Jews for Ceasefire. Of course they want a ceasefire. Well, they strike this horrible terrorist attack and then immediately want a ceasefire. Of course they don't want any retribution. So, but they're paid by Muslim Brotherhood and the CCP. And Code Pink, ThoughtWorks, People's Forum, and all the protests, and they were immediately up and running. No, there was no comment by these people about the October 7th. You know, I'm Catholic, right? Okay.
Yes.
This is bull. What they're doing is bull. This is un-American saboteurs, and now it's getting violent across the country. This is, we have to put this down.
Black Lives Matter on steroids.
It's all the same people, and they're
right.
Paying people. They're giving them uniforms. They're effectively, this is a Joe Biden campaign operation.
Well, we have. Well, go ahead, Robert. I'm sorry.
He can stay in his basement if he has these agitators, you know, fomenting this or that. This is a, you know, this is a fight of against good and evil in the Middle East, and they're trying to influence our foreign policy about, you know, we have a dithering president anyway. He doesn't know what the heck he's doing. So they're paid agitators, but it's Chinese money and it's Muslim Brotherhood money that are funding these things.
So the Muslims and the Chinese are working together to create chaos in our country. Yeah.
Remember Islamic Jihad. You know, Islamic Jihad, he's worked with Hitler. It's a natural alliance for them. They're our enemies now, and we need to be called as such.
Well, we have Representative Rashida Tlaib is to visit Arizona, and Marriott canceled her event. So ASU opened up their arms, and, you know, they kick off Charlie Kirk. And whether you're a Charlie Kirk fan or not, we do still have freedom of speech, hopefully. But Rashida Tlaib is coming, and there is just an outcry, you know.
Code Pink is paying. Code Pink, People's Forum, and Muslim Brotherhood and ThoughtWorks are organizing the squad rallies. Rashida Tlaib, the insurrection inside the Cannon office building in the Capitol by these...
Andy Biggs's office is in the Cannon building.
Right. So that was organized by the same people. Mm. And it's very orchestrated with lots of money. You need to dig into the money. I'm glad the New York Times posted on this, because I wouldn't have found it otherwise.
Well, you know, this is, but people have to understand that this is all stage. This is all political theater. This is to confuse. Most young people don't even know the history, don't even know why we care about Israel, when I was with Andy, he shared that they had seen the actual film that the Hamas guerrillas had worn while they were executing people. He said it was the most horrific thing he's seen in his entire life. And yet somehow we're supposed to normalize that. This is what these people going around the country are trying to normalize, this kind of behavior. And there's got to be a place where we draw the line in the sand. So, Robert, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we can go a little bit more on this, but I want to hear about what's happening. I think there's some election news. Our good friend Fannie Willis is up to no good some more. So we'll deal with that, if that's okay.
Yes.
Okay, great. This is Kathleen Wynn. This is Wynn Tucson. It's Friday, and we'll be back. You're listening to 1030 The Voice, your trusted local news and talk, and we've got so much more, so don't go anywhere. Stay with us. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson, and we are talking just all kinds of things. We're talking about the organized paid protests that are happening, which happened during Black Lives Matter, which happened over and over again. And so that these are not natural, organic protests. These are bought and paid for protests to create more chaos in our country. And we're joined by Robert Bowes, my good friend, former Trump staffer, worked in the housing department and did many other things, and is still continuing to work on elections. Yes, those elections from 2022, as we head very quickly into 2024. So Robert, Georgia, Fannie Willis, she's upset. She's having a bad week. What's happening?
Well, last week she just got beat on subpoenas. So the defense asked for a bunch of great evidence in the Georgia election fraud cases.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they call, you know, the RICO with President Trump and 18 others. So Harrison Floyd in particular, his team, did a massive subpoena of a lots of the election fraud that investigators have been looking into for 2 years now.
And Harrison, I always just want to remind my listeners, Harrison, we had him on our show. He was, I think, the only one that was actually put in jail. He's the only African-American in the group that's been charged. Is that true?
That's correct.
Yes.
So, yeah.
They made a good, bad example of him. They threw him in jail. Go ahead. Tell the story.
Well, so we did a subpoena, and the judge there said, okay, yeah, that's relevant. Go ahead. Made the Secretary of State and the Fulton County turn over all the evidence that we were seeking, and we know exactly where to look, where the fraud is.
Right.
So Fonnie Willis did not like that one bit. So she tried to do this backdoor evidence suppression, and she basically said, well, okay, well, we're going to put it under protective order. You have to come into the courthouse and look at it. You can't copy it, you know, under gunner arm guard and all that, whatever. So, but then somebody leaked this Jenna Ellis, Sidney Powell videos. I call them the hostage videos.
Yes.
Where the people that pled to those bogus charges, they were like misdemeanors and just inconsequential things. They paid like $5,000 or $7,000 fine, no jail, but they had to do a video. So these hostage videos were sent out to the defense, and then they were leaked. So Fonnie Willis blamed it on Harrison Floyd, and then said, we need a protective order. And then Harrison Floyd said, it wasn't me. They're basically trying to frame Harrison Floyd for leaking the videos. He didn't leak them.
Right.
So, and the other thing he did, he's been posting truths about Ruby Freeman and the suitcases under the table, and Ruby's own, you know, in her own words. So he's been putting out these posts on Twitter, and Fonnie Willis does not like the fact that the truth is going out. So the night she's doing a fundraiser at the Washington Post in D.C., she seeks now to revoke Harrison Floyd's bail and put him and lock him back in jail. So she wants to jail him to shut him up because he's putting the truth out there. So it's classic. You know, she wants to leak to the media, but she doesn't want the defendants to be able to talk. That is a violation of constitutional rights right there.
Absolutely.
There's a hearing Tuesday.
All I want to say is the evidence that the defense receives, there was no protective order on it. They can do whatever they want with it. They weren't violating the law. The fact that she's a county attorney, right, or a district attorney, whatever she is, she doesn't have that authority. So she's already way over her skis on this. You know, the world according.
She's being directed by the Biden DOJ and Jack Smith, and they want publicity about this. So they're saying, oh, they're intimidating witnesses. They're harassing people, all that, which is bull. So the Sixth Amendment says you have the right to face your accusers. You have the right to a speedy, fair, impartial trial, you know, in a district with your peers, you know, and he's already not getting that. And none of the people are. Now, Harrison happens to be very outspoken about it, but he's only posting what Ruby Freeman said herself in body cams, police body cams, police reports. He's putting those out there. He's not mean to her at all. It's actually very empowering to Ruby Freeman, who was who admitted to multiple scans of the same ballots or illegal scans of the ballots. And then she also said the USBs are going to blow your mind. So they did something with those memory cards to perhaps inject a bunch of fake votes into the system. And we have evidence in Milwaukee of them doing the same thing. So there's all kinds of election fraud. And Fulton County was notorious for lots of different fraud. And that's going to come out when this trial comes up. But right now we want to keep Harrison from getting thrown back in the slammer in the most dangerous jail in the country, Fulton County Prison.
Well, and I would hope that a judge would, without any absolute proof, would hope that they would not do that. I mean, that they just can't make a false accusation and throw this young man back into jail. I still think we live in America. It's a little messed up right now. It's a lot messed up. But I would...
They're doing the same in New York. The gag orders they're trying in New York, they're basically trying to silence the defense so that they can have a one-way free pass to indoctrinate and bias the voters and bias the juries. They don't, and the other thing Fannie Willis said is that the case in Georgia is going to last into 2025, which means that the prosecution gets to go first. So she's going to run out the clock with her and again keep the defense on the sideline all the way to the election next year. So she wants an unbalanced, rigged trial to influence the election between now and 11 months from now.
Well, and that makes sense if Jack Smith is coaching her, right? This is just another play. You know, in football, we have the Statue of Liberty. In elections, we have this. This is just crazy. And it doesn't have merit. And everyone was all upset when Sidney Powell pled, but it was a hostage video. I watched it, and it looked like, someone made her say whatever the heck she was saying. I couldn't see any conviction in it, like that she really meant what she was saying, but she was saying it because that's what they told her to say. It reminds me of a true hostage video where they give you...
Irrelevant charges. It was just an easy way. The prosecution wasn't ready, and they did not want to show their case with Sidney and Ken Chesbrough starting 3 weeks ago. They didn't want that to go be a dry run for the rest of the defendants to look at. So the prosecution kind of backed away from that and gave them something. It was an easy deal for Sidney. It's like $7,000 fine, no jail time, and she had to plead to some irrelevant charge. There's no RICO anymore. All the big conspiracies they were talking about, none of that happened.
And it all went away. Robert, what was she going to get if she didn't do that? What was the potential downside? So if she had gone to trial and not taken this plea agreement, she could have gone to jail for, I think, the rest of her life.
For long, at least 20 years. Felony convictions, lose her law license, all that. But the prosecution relented because they weren't ready, and Sidney took the deal. It was actually a smart deal. She's going to testify truthfully. She had to agree to this bogus plea deal, just like Jenna Ellis did. And I just lit up Jenna. She basically she lied in her plea deal about interfering with the operation of election. Guess what? The election was done and certified. There was no operation to interfere with. So she lied in her plea agreement. And then so now, I don't think they're even going to call her as a prosecution witness because she kind of just blew it on her own. So, anyway, Harrison Floyd is fighting and fighting it, and he's a patriot, he's a Marine, and we're helping him, and he's helping, working with the other defendants to get out the facts in this case.
Well, if you can stay with me just one more time through this next break, I want to talk about Arizona because it's its own special case. We are our own special case as we still have ballots and election lawsuits and everything else going on here. But as this relates to President Trump, we don't have a lot of time between 80, 90 days. We're going to know who the Republican nominee is. Is my clock right? Is my calendar right?
That's right. 58 days till Iowa caucus, and then Super Tuesday, March 9th and March 19th. That 20 states will have voted by that time, New York, California included. So you will know that this race will be over. President Trump will be the primary nominee at that point. So we're talking like 80 plus days from now. And then early voting happens even sooner. So those are just election days.
Yes. And so these are, there's a special name for these elections, and it just went out of my presidential preference elections. Is that what we call them?
Yes.
Okay.
The primary elections. Yes. There's some caucuses happening. Iowa caucus on January 15th, I believe. Yeah.
So to this point, because Joe Biden seemed to kind of sort of announce that maybe governor of California may be taking Gavin Newsom may be taking his place. So do we, if that's going to happen, that should happen before Christmas?
The Democrats are going to rig it, just like they rigged it against Bernie Sanders with Hillary Clinton.
So they're going to rig it against Joe Biden or against Gavin? Yeah.
Well, they've got this provision in there that says the chair of the DNC can ultimately decide who the party nominee is. If for whatever reason somebody, the nominee, like Joe Biden, after the convention is decided to be incompetent or unable, then the DNC chair can basically pick who it is.
Where were these people 3-4 years ago? He was incompetent then. Who didn't exercise their right to say this man's incompetent?
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
You got that power. You didn't use it. And look at the country. We need to find that. That's like the Dr. Fauci of elections. We need to prosecute that guy. Who let Joe Biden be the candidate? Oh, my God. And then Kamala Harris, the vice president. They don't even talk about her anymore. Like, she's not even, no one mentions her. Oh, Lord. All right. Well, we're going to, I'm just having too much fun with this dysfunction. All right. We're talking to Robert Bose. We will be back. This is Kathleen Wynn. This is Wynn Tucson. This is Friday. And this is 1030 The Voice, your trusted local news and talk. Stay with us. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. We're talking to Robert Bose. Robert is working very hard on the elections and in trying to restore election integrity. We are not election deniers. We just want there to not be extra votes that don't go to anybody or machines that don't work, or we want there to be enough ballots on election day. Reasonable concepts, I think. Right, Robert?
Yes, definitely. So, the Kerry Lake election case is still alive in court.
And you live here, you're not paying attention. But there's probably a lot of people now that she's running for Senate think it's over. So this is a good reminder. So go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So, running for Senate, but just still the governor race is still under investigation. It's at the Court of Appeals in Arizona. But just 2 days ago, Kerry Lake's lawyer,
Kurt Olson
filed to transfer the case directly to the Arizona Supreme Court, because we'd found out that there was evidence of a perjury by Scott Jarrett, one of the Maricopa officials, lied under oath. And we found that all the 58% of the ballots who were rejected by the scanners and caused the long lines in Phoenix, people left the polls, like 20,000 of them left the polls. That was purposeful. We found that they tested the printers and the tabulators
to illegally
reject the ballot. They tested to make sure that they would be rejected.
Right.
And we caught them on that with the going in and opening up the machines. The machines were supposed to be locked down after logic and accuracy testing. They went back in, they snuck back in and said, "Oh, let's check to make sure that this little fit to page printing scheme, which moves the hash marks so the tabulator can't read them." Then you have people are in there trying to like put it in 3, 4, 5 times, and they finally say, "Oh, put it in this envelope and we'll get to it later." Like a lot of ballots. Like
we have, well, we,
ballots.
I don't know if it would, well, and we know that there's 9,100 from election day that people voted that haven't been counted, and that's the Abe Hamadeh case. Separate case,
that's
but
right.
Same problem. So
exactly. So that's being going right to the Arizona Supreme Court. I think today is the deadline for Maricopa to reply to that motion to transfer the case to the Arizona Supreme Court. So, but we caught them in the rigging of the election with the logic and accuracy test about changing the paper size and the print. That's what caused these ballots to be rejected.
Go
ahead.
I'm sorry. We've heard this though before. So what is different now? So this was testimony. We knew that Jared had committed perjury when he testified the first time. Was it just not accepted by a court that he did?
So we found it just in the last week or so, we found that the system logs of showing the errors, it identified these rejects to happen in a whole bunch of places, a lot of polling centers. Scott Jarrett first said, "Oh, it's only three places where this happened. It's only like 1,700 or 1,200 votes." No, it had affected the thousands and thousands of votes, and it was in many voting centers. So he lied about that. He lied about the page purposeful page printing. He lied about the logic and accuracy test. So that new information gives the right to Kerry Lake to get it directly to the Arizona Supreme Court. So it's going to save time and get this thing resolved. The court did a lie on the court, and the lawyers for Katie Hobbs lied to the court. So this is a big deal that will be hopefully we'll get some news about it today. What Maricopa says in return, but I'm sure they don't want this to go anywhere. They want to stall it.
Well,
but Kurt Olson is a fighter and representing Kerry really well.
He is. I think What we've seen the Supreme Court do in Arizona is they send it back to the appeals court. Do you think that they will, for some reason, just take up this case at this point?
I think they have to take it because of the fraud on the court. That's
okay.
That's the ruling. That's what Counsel Kurt Olson has said. So we'll see. The Arizona Supreme Court has its own issues, but these are constitutional issues of equal protection. So if there's an equal protection issue and the Arizona Supreme Court doesn't address that problem, then it goes to the U.S. Supreme Court. So this is going to expedite the ultimate resolution of this case.
And although they're separate cases and they're separate issues, because Abe is come a different lane, if you will, same problem, just different lane. Does this have any effect on Abe's case?
It may, if there's a ultimate determination of Maricopa fraud and on the voters, you know, purposely creating a ballot rejection scheme. Yes, that will open it up for Abe as well. If he can add that to his complaint, Pima County had problems, Pinal County had problems, Maricopa had different problems, lots of them, and it affected Abe. It affected Mark Fincham. It affected all the Republicans in that race. And just what now? A year ago, right?
Yes, we are over a year ago now. We are now over a year, still dealing with the 2022 election as we. You know, and I think this is where people, we just had a city election here, Robert, for mayor, and a lot of people didn't turn in their ballots. Although I think they're still counting them from a week ago, which in Arizona time is really quickly, that we're still, we're down to the final 19,000. But it's frustrating because I think people are just resigned to the fact that if they vote, it won't matter, which is, I believe, the design of the cheaters. They want that. They want to disenfranchise.
I agree with you, and it's sad that they're doing that. And it is violating the voting rights of people to do that, to create these diversions. It's the same thing in our legal system. They're affecting your constitutional rights to free speech and to equal protection, to a fair trial, to vote even. They're messing with your votes. And all this is designed to make sure that this doesn't happen again. The legal actions going on are, we have to fix the elections to correct the errors to make it a safe and secure election in 2024 for everybody, Democrats, Republicans, independents, everybody.
As you're aware, there is a lot going on in Arizona. We've got our open border. We've had a couple border agents injured and killed most recently in the last month, several. We don't have law and order. Is there anything that can, if these people are found guilty, that they manipulated these elections and we have different leadership in place, can anybody be held accountable for the fraud? I mean, is there, ultimately, can people go to jail for these actions that seem to be coordinated? There seems to be coordination between different factions, maybe even Democrats and Republicans working together to suppress the vote of the people for what the people really wanted or who they really wanted to elect. Do you ever see this getting to the place where someone is held criminally liable for interfering with an election?
Well, I think that you know, a perjury finding for Scott Jarrett and a perjury finding for Counsel to Maricopa, particularly with lying about the logic and accuracy testing and the ballot rejection plan they had, that could lead to a criminal referral. I'm not optimistic about that. I think most people just want this to never happen again. We want fair. I would love to have criminal convictions on these people. This should not happen. People's voting rights were stolen. I'm skeptical that the system is so rigged right now. With judges, politicians, they're spineless. They're corrupted and spineless. So I'm not optimistic. But we do need to get fair elections, and then bring in people who are representing the people, and they're not corrupt. They're ethical. They're doing the right thing. They're not bought off. That's the real fix here. I'd love to see some convictions. I'm skeptical about it.
Well, and I think we have to clean up our own house first too. You know, we've had, I would love your take now that we have, you know, some people are disappointed in Speaker Johnson that they did this continuing resolution. I think he got handed a bag of pony poop and had to deal with it, unfortunately. I didn't like the continuing resolution personally, but they didn't have time to do the things that they needed to do. And now all members are on vacation till the 28th. Can they, when they go back in the month of December, do what they need to do to start to cut spending?
Yes, they can. I think Speaker Johnson had to deal with the practical reality of the Senate being really obstructionist. They're the swamp. The U.S. Senate is very swampy, and they weren't going to do anything before year end. They're schmoozing. They're doing fundraisers. They don't care about the spending. They don't care about controlling spending. So the House could have done something in a rush basis, but the Senate would have stiff-armed it. So I think this is kind of a compromise move by Johnson to say, well, it's going to split up these agency funding plans to push it back right into January after everybody gets back. Gives them a couple weeks to get back to it. They'll still be working on individual spending bills. And then I think he did a staggered thing where certain agencies have to get their budgets fixed up, you know, reduced by a particular time, and then a few weeks later they have to do the rest. Then they aren't pressured by the Senate to with this, you know, run out the clock before Christmas. Every year it's the same thing. You know, force people into rush decisions right before the end of the year. So I think the real tough things are cut some spending, cut off all the money to the illegals, which is probably now $1 trillion.
I know.
For housing, food, transportation, everything, about $1 trillion. So people want to know why their groceries are high. It's because we're spending about $1 trillion on illegals all across the country for housing and food.
And cell phones and airplane tickets.
Yeah, cell phones, airplane tickets, free rides, exactly.
Hotels.
And it's bringing in. So I think I'm in a camp where I'm withholding on the view of Johnson. I hope he can deliver. I heard he's made some good successes on, you know, with investigations. Subpoenas are going out.
Correct.
So that's a good thing, I think. So, you know, I think the Senate was the problem. So he has to deal with that. On its surface, it seems like having an extension on the continuing resolution is a bad thing. Yes, it is typically, but this may be a practical reality where it works. It makes sense.
That's great. So do you have to go, or can you stay with us till the end?
I can stay with us.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. You, thank you. I'm grateful. We are talking to Robert Bose, former Trump administration official and good friend. And this is Friday, and it's we're listening to 1030 The Voice, your trusted local news and talk. I'm Kathleen Wynn on Wynn Tucson. Stay with us. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. My very special guest, Robert Bose. Robert, where do we go from here in terms of you got elections next year, and there's a lot of people leaving. Debbie Lesko from Arizona, Santos has announced after his ethics report he's not going to run again. Dan Bishop is going to run for Attorney General in North Carolina. So you have people, a lot of movement on the board. So is that a good thing or a bad thing for Republicans?
Yeah, it's an opportunity to get people to represent the Americans again. For the most part, you know, people go to Washington, you know, they talk a big game, but when they get there, they immediately get into the cocktail party circuit and the donors, and they say, they basically forget their old friends back in the district, right? So, you know, the folks in the Freedom Caucus, people who are going to, who don't need the money, who want to be citizen legislators, those are the people we need in there to to bust apart that swamp in D.C. here. So, you know, if there are candidates like you, I mean, you know, the other America First candidates in there, we'd love to see upgrade to Congress. There's about a dozen retirements in the Congress. Some of them are reading the tea leaves, like the swampy rhino people. They're getting out because they're looking at the polls.
Ken Buck, would he fall in that category?
Yeah, Ken Buck. So all these opportunities are to get, you know, fresh, smart people that are knowledgeable on the issues to actually do something. They aren't going to be co-opted to, just to kick the can down the road. We need to address these many crises we have right now: economic, foreign policy, medical freedom. You know, we have to fight back against the tyranny, the cultural indoctrination. This gender ideology crap is ridiculous. So
absolutely,
we need fighters in there. Yeah.
What about the weaponization of these courts? We've seen it on full display during these hearings on the election and everything else, and the fact that this district attorney could possibly throw Harrison Floyd back into jail for something he didn't even do. So does that affect elections? Do people understand that we're losing control of our judicial system and our law enforcement because we're not prosecuting? So, how does someone look at what's happening and just not throw up their hands and say it doesn't matter who we elect?
Wow. It's courage, get the right people in there. I think that the Injustice Department needs total overhaul. It's been weaponized to go after, traditional Catholics, pro-life folks, just regular people, people that stand up at the school boards
yes.
and say, why are you letting, a tranny into the girls' bathroom to assault, a daughter? That happened in Virginia. The FBI was going after the wrong people in that one. This is the Biden FBI. It's so messed up right now. So please, it's so important. People don't be, the folks and voters, do your homework and read up on the issues, and please vote in people who are going to represent you and America First issues, family issues, life, economic liberty, low taxes, all that. I mean, it just got so bad purposely by Biden. When the Trump team gets in there, hopefully in 2025,
yes,
all this we can be quickly reversed. Quickly, we got as a planning for this with staffing and the policy implementation to, bring gas prices down, bring grocery prices down. We need deflation. We need reduced spending. We're bank right now. The Biden team is and the Uniparty is bankrupting. They're bankrupting the country. $35 trillion. We have over an annual run rate of interest right now, $1.3 trillion just in interest. That's almost as big as Medicare right now. It's more than defense. It's almost as big as Medicare. So, and it's going to be bigger. It will be the biggest line item if we keep on this pace, and if rates don't come down, it's going to bankrupt the country. So we need people, fiscal conservatives and social conservatives, to get in and fix up this mess like right away.
And stop voting with the Democrats. Mike Johnson has asked for the release of all January 6th tapes. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a great thing. I think, the J6 committee, J6 people, grandmas taking selfies around the Capitol should never have been prosecuted, targeted. So I'd like justice for all those folks. Sure, if you broke a window, get charged for breaking and entering, whatever. but for everybody else who's just hanging around the mall, or the Capitol building taking selfies, there's no crime there at all. They did nothing. And the real obstruction was the fact that the state objections to the election were disrupted by Nancy Pelosi and the Congress. They wanted a ruse to stop the certification of the review of the state fraud. 120 members of the House thought there was fraud going on in the elections, and they were about to block the certification of the election, several senators, and Nancy Pelosi knew it. So they basically had to find some way to disrupt that. So having these videos come out is going to be exonerating to many of the people who were wrongfully charged, jailed in J6.
Well, we've interviewed some of them. They're now currently serving terms, and some, 6 months, some a couple of years. My hope is they release these and reveal that. But isn't it interesting? Every time they don't get what they want, they disrupt. They didn't like the country under Trump, so we had COVID. They didn't like the fact that we were going to challenge the election, so we had January 6th, and there was some vote, and then the Democrat Congress and pulled the fire alarm. A much smaller scale, but that seems to be the mentality. If you don't like what's happening, create a diversion. And we have now diversion government. That seems to be the way that we, if you can't control it, you cheat. Or you do something to disrupt what's happening so you don't have to deal with it. And it's destructive. And we continue.
The Democrats are resorting to being aligned with rioters who go on campus to scare people because of their faith, intimidate them, assault them. It did happen in Capitol Hill DNC just a night ago here in D.C. Violent, radical jihadis paid by China and the Muslim Brotherhood were assaulting police officers. Was that an insurrection? Why didn't they lock up all those people? They didn't do anything like that. But if you're a Trump supporter, they're going to target you. But if you're burning and looting like BLM, or you're assaulting police officers because you're part of a jihadi group that's funded by China, they're not going to mess with you. They're not going to arrest you. It's such a double standard. We have to fix that.
Whether you like Trump, don't like Trump, the policies worked, right? And if we make this election in 2025 about Donald Trump, do we lose voters? Do we need to make it about America? Do we need to make it about Americans? I think that we need to create a movement of people who want to save the country. And yes, there'll be a presidential nominee, but is it about him only, or is it about everybody in the country getting representation again, and we restore the Constitution?
It's about everybody. It's about the mom, the parents worried about school indoctrination of their kids. It's the priests who don't want their church to be burnt and vandalized. It's about the men and women in the military who are forced to take jabs and have more mortality risk than not getting the jabs. I mean, it's all of that. It's people trying to, getting extra 2-3 jobs now to fund all their grocery and gas costs.
Right.
It's just a stress on people right now. I'm looking at, the economic indicators are not good right now. Housing costs are ridiculously high.
Yes.
It's $1,000 more per month.
Well, somebody's got to pay for all those illegal immigrants in our country, right?
And that's part of it. The government is funding it and it's crowding it out. They put $140 billion extra into HUD. And the demand with all that government socialism is driving out and up the cost and driving out Americans. They're doing it to displace, basically, and drive up the cost for everybody else. That needs to be reversed. It's $1,000 per month more for home price costs because of the interest rates and because of rents. Then it needs to come out. Housing, food, gas, basic things.
Well,
it's a problem.
We need to stop all of it. And we will have you back. I have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I will not talk to you probably between now and then. And just thank you for coming on, as always. Always good to hear what you have to say and what's
Happy
going
Thanksgiving.
On. Thank you so
go
much.
U of A.
Yay, go. Yeah, that's exactly right. Go U of A. Let's beat Wildcats. What, Utah, Matt?
Utah.
Okay, so we will do that. And the basketball team just needs to keep on winning because we're hosting the Final Four and I want us to be there. This has been Kathleen Wynn, Wynn Tucson on 1030 The Voice. Go out and make it a great weekend. Back on Monday.